You know, sometimes I queef. I can, you know, it's just how it happens. Air gets in there.
If you're queefing, you got a problem, bro.
You never had a dick fart, dude?
Hey, you definitely got a problem.
The old front butt fart.
Yeah, go see someone. Good luck. Dick good fart.
Okay, take it back. It's not a front butt. It's a stick butt.
Stick butt.
It's a stick butt.
Would it still be called a queef, though? Like, wouldn't we get our own word? Because it's coming out of a tube rather than a hole.
It'd be like a quaff.
Kyle, a tube. That tube is a hole. That hole is a tube.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Built Sideways podcast, here with another new episode. And with me once again tonight, because we record this at night, spoilers, our usual hosts and brethren, as some would say, Julio.
Hi.
Nubs.
Hi.
Got Kyle, Clueless Compo Builder.
Ah.
And we have Brian.
Built Sideways podcast. Dun, 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 dun. Ding.
And the first part of that song, I thought it was some kind of wedding medley, and then he went James Bond a little bit in the second half, and then I don't know where he went with the bing.
That was Julio.
Anyway, yeah. Was that Julio? Oh, crap.
Yeah, yeah. Already ended. Yeah. And as with all you right. As always is Julio.
And Julio. No, wait, he was the first one. I said, everybody said his name. All right. So, and then.
Yeah, I know.
Finally.
He's my friend.
You got me, Chris Pabs. So tonight, I kind of want to continue the previous episode's kind of theme of, you know, because so, you know, for those that didn't listen to the previous episode, first of all, how dare you? Secondly, we essentially spoke about like the plateau problem, right? Of like feeling like we're not really improving. But I kind of want to take that topic and kind of just twist it a little bit, to kind of talk about and pivot into more of our experiences, not with the plateau, but breaking away from it. Now, I kind of want to talk about like breaking our own personal, glass ceilings, you know, kind of what past builds helped us kind of reach, make us feel like we've reached like a new level or a new echelon of what we think is our good shit, essentially. You know, if there even is one, or if there's a build that you guys went through where you felt like you were going to break a ceiling, but you kind of look back at it and go, oh, maybe not really, maybe somewhat, like maybe I was almost there, but didn't kind of reach it. You know what I mean? Like, so essentially, did you break your glass ceiling? If you didn't, why not? If you did, how? And then, finally, once you guys broke your glass ceilings, was there another glass ceiling to break? Or do you feel like there is another one to break? And, you know, we'll get into it. We'll keep it casual, though. We'll keep it nice and laid back. So
keep it light. Keep it airy. You're a fucking croissant. All right?
I like it. Like I had a croissant buddy? Today.
It oh, was great. Shit.
Oh, ham and cheese this? Croissant. It was nice. Ooh,
I was going nice. To guess chocolate.
No. If I ever do have like a nice like chocolate pastry, usually it'd be a chocolat au pain. Like
yeah, pain au chocolat. Yeah, man. That's yeah. Just what I was gonna say. That's the shit.
That's the shit. French.
Me boy, he ain't lived.
Nah, I just he's been French coffee weeks. In the city. That's just how it goes.
Like in fancies out here, sitting next to the Eiffel Tower.
What's the difference between pan de queso, homie? Seriously.
That is cheese bread, sir.
Yeah, and pan de chocolate is fucking chocolate bread.
That's
sir.
Chocolate bread. It's two different and palettes. De coco. That's and coconut de. Bread.
I like that too. That's
great. You're looking for panda bono, right? Panda bono is just bread.
No, that's like lofty bread. In the name bread. Of love. Once more in the name of right. Love.
That's the pain. Let's steer the ship straight back towards this way. So glass ceilings breaking. Yes. Who wants to start us off? Who, you guys have like a build you want to talk about that made you feel like, damn, that glass ceiling broke real good?
Probably everyone. I think it's everyone's like first custom. Like you really put your first good foot forward and started like digging into plastic and started doing shit. That first, like, it's candy glass. Because it's always like, it's your mind holding you back. Like, I just spent $40 on this kid. I'm not going to dig into it. I'm not going to do crazy shit. I'm going to paint it. Are you crazy? And it that first, like, fake glass, and you're like, oh, that was nothing. And it just keeps fucking ramping up.
Not wrong. You're not wrong there, Julio.
So your description of this thing is like, it's like in The Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he's able to break the glass no problem in the movie, but then he moves to the real world or goes to the real world, tries to break another glass window or a car door window. It's like, oh, that hurt. Why did it hurt? I see what you're saying. All right.
Yeah. Candy glass.
Oh, but you're not wrong there. Like the first Zaku that I built, right? And actually the kit that kind of turned me into more of a mecha modeler or wanting to pursue this genre further. You know, first few couple of Gundam kits I built were kind of wet farts a little bit. You know? All right.
Stop calling it a stray of fart, man. It's a really cool suit.
I just didn't enjoy it, okay? I just didn't enjoy it. There's a lot of things about it that I don't like aesthetically. And that's because my mind is made of metal. No, but I'd be like, I dipped into a complicated build. The first one that I built, the first Gundam model kit that I built. Obviously, it wasn't my first model kit because I've been at this shit forever. But when we're in one form or another. That first Zaku that I dipped into in the same deal, like you're talking about, Julio, you know, I kind of like quote unquote cut into it a little bit. I added some parts. I did some scribing as best I knew, but I was a metal worker by X amount of years before then. So I was just like, okay, I'm scribing into plastic instead of scribing into steel. And it's like, it's all about precision. It's all about precise measuring. So I already had that background. I had a leg up on it, but it was for me and to be personal for a little second about it, is that I had the airbrushing and the pre-shading down or pre-highlighting down. So I had like nice hues going because that was kind of intuitive. But what I did to it was I applied a weird paint and a brush paint style that like, I was just like, I don't know what this is going to do. And I might totally fuck this up, but I'm just going to try it and see what happens. And I had a really positive result with it and carried through with it and saw through with the whole build. And then that actually, that little bit kind of broke that candy glass ceiling that you're talking about, Julio, that early, you know, easy to break glass ceiling, which is fine. And then that allowed me to lean a little bit further into doing more complicated scribes, more complicated, like miniature style airbrushing I did on like the weaponry. To give it more glows and stuff like that. And that kind of like too also broke another candy glass ceiling that's right above that. So I feel like a lot of these like barriers, we're calling it like, you know, the glass ceiling is kind of like a barrier for progression. In the beginning, they can be like really close to each other and really easy to break through. Right. Can you guys agree? Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah. Very much so.
A little bit like, you know, it's like, you know, even like your little like upgrade, like, cleaning parts off without gouging the shit out of them, or like, you know, getting it first time you sanded down a nub really clean or whatever, like, you know, even just very basic beginner shit, or even doing that now as a quote unquote seasoned modeler, you know, when you do cut a part clean and sand it off and clean it up nice, you get a little like a little happiness from that. So, you know, those are achievements you unlock again. But like, so that's just my first, like the first end, like you guys have, what do you guys have for that kind of stuff?
Okay. So for me, for the, like in terms of breaking ceilings, right. And I mean, I'm going to try to get into this as much as I can, because the very first painted build that I did that I really like, painted every single piece on that kit was the Freedom 2.0. And then I had entered that kit into a local competition and it had won. But even though I that was my first painted kit and I tried a whole bunch of new things on it. I did, you know, my first attempt at pre-shading, my first attempt at scribing, my first attempt at, you know, literally just painting the whole kit, including, and, you know, finally like finishing it with a clear coat. And even though it did win, I felt like I didn't really break any barriers per se. I didn't really break a glass ceiling. It was the build after that one was where I felt like, okay, I'm starting to kind of feel this. I'm starting to understand, and I'm starting to kind of pick up what it is I think I'm wanting to do. And that's the Sazabi for KA. There was something about that kit and what I was doing to it that put me in like a really weird state of flow for like weeks. And I mean, it's not like I did anything too special to that either. It was like, you know, it was like mostly black, some purple, a lot of gold. It had like the twin gathering set. It had like the LED in the eye. And again, nothing too custom about that, right? There's no scribing, you know, nothing too fancy, no proportion changes. Nothing really specifically like complicated or new skill learned and all that stuff. Like, but it was really more because I was starting to understand what I wanted to do and what I wanted to achieve when it comes to scale modeling. Mm-hmm. You know, it with the freedom, it was just me throwing whatever I think looked cool and kind of, you know, oh, appreciating. I see people do that. Oh, you know, a little bit of scribing. I see people do that. I want to try it and see if it works, see how I do with it, and not really understanding the methodology behind it. But with the Sazabi, it was like, okay, I want to make this clean. I want to make this look cool. But at the same time, I need to kind of plan the stages of which I want to do these things. And when it was finished and, you know, I looked at it, and I mean, even looking back at it now, it's not the best build. It's not the best executed. It doesn't have like the greatest color scheme. Again, it's mostly black. Let's be, you know, be honest. And it's not going to blow people away when they see it. But it broke a barrier for me that I was having trouble with very early, very, very early on. And that is no understanding the concept, understanding what it is I have to do to be able to execute the things that I want to do. And ever since then, ever since the Sazabi build, if I want to try something new, I at least am able to think about the methodology in which to achieve those things. And, you know, at least do the proper research, do the proper kind of concept building, blocking out, et cetera, et cetera. And that really broke that glass ceiling for me. And now, you know, wherever I'm at now is looking back at it. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a couple of floors up from where that was. Kyle?
So I've been thinking about this as I'm hearing you guys about what I personally would define as a glass ceiling and whether or not I have broken it. For some reason, I kept getting into this whole analogy in my head when Julio was talking about breaking through the candy glass was essentially when you first customize a kit. At least it felt like an experience for me when I first painted my first kit and then dabbled in scratch building and scribing all that jazz with each build, kind of trying something new. For some reason, the imagery that came to mind was basically being a dude at the circus jumping into a cannon and getting launched into the air, and that through that momentum, pure force behind you, kind of like the exciting, oh, I'm doing something new, I'm trying new things, that's like propelling you through the air. But then I'm thinking to myself, did I ever break any glass ceilings though through that like pure like learning experience and trying new things and just kind of being propelled by that exciting adventure, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I've broken the proverbial glass ceiling that I would deem as such. And I don't think that's just being harsh on myself. I want to say like trying new things, people could deem that as breaking a glass ceiling. But for me personally, I think it's like
It's part of like the journey to then getting to the glass ceiling. Like all those things will culminate to then give you an end product that would you would deem yourself as, okay, now I'm at the next level. I'm beyond the glass. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. I don't think I've broken a glass ceiling yet. Mm-hmm. I think I'm on my way to breaking a glass ceiling. But I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that, to be honest with you. I'm contemplating it in the short time we've talked about this, and I don't confidently think I've broken a glass ceiling, but I feel like I'm on my way. I don't know how far I have to go, but what?
Bullshit. I call bullshit.
Well, I mean, this is your definition of a glass ceiling. I'm not saying I haven't done cool shit. But I feel like, and this is the thing, I've never defined a certain thing as like, okay, when I do this, I'm now next level per se. I think I'll know when I get to it. No, I'm not, but that's, I don't think there's like tiers of builders, like a given, boom, here's your glass ceiling. I think every
person defines it. On TikTok, Kyle.
I don't know. It's a tough thing to define.
Definition between snap building and customizing.
True, but is there way a glass past ceiling?
Customizing, bro.
Is there a glass ceiling to go from one to the other?
Yeah,
I don't believe so.
It's
though.
That fake glass. You were going so fast, you didn't even feel that shit. You went straight fucking through, bro. They
call it air. But I mean, I personally don't feel like going from straight building to painting a kit or even like just basic customization. I don't feel like there's a glass ceiling to that. Like I feel like a glass ceiling is defining like you conquering a skill set that takes years of work to do, and I feel like a lot of builders can get into a lot of these customization skills with maybe a couple of builds under their belt of practicing it to be able to scribe a line, paint a kit. Like, are they going to be like a world winning kind of shit? No, but they're at least going to have a competent product at the end of it with very little effort.
Yeah, that's you.
I don't feel like there's a ceiling to that, personally.
I would like to interject. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Because I'm going to say that you have broken a glass ceiling. I just think that you look at it and since it didn't achieve what you wanted it to achieve, it feels like you didn't. So I'm going to compare your first GBWC entry to your latest one. Your Sazabi to your Zaku. Do you not feel like there are you had broken a barrier from that first entry to your latest one?
Barrier? No. Skill set? Yes.
I feel like
a barrier is an obstacle that you have to overcome. I didn't necessarily overcome anything between those two builds in terms of like skills and practicality. I think I did more. More skills were applied, more technical aspects. It was definitely executed far better than the two of them. But was there a barrier between the two of them? Not for me personally. No, I don't believe so.
I 100% think there is a barrier between the two. So what was your concept for the Sazabi?
I wanted to just cool big thing and then throw a bunch of details on there because I thought.
Okay. What was your concept for the Zaku?
Him falling out of space.
You broke a barrier being able to narrate a concept between the Sazabi and the Zaku. That is a barrier, man. That's a glass ceiling that you broke right there. You are now a conceptually executable builder. You foresee something, you see something conceptually in your mind and you're able to translate it to the table. That is a skill not a lot of people have. It's unfortunate.
The thing is, I cannot agree with that statement. That's the thing where I say, well, no, let me explain it. That's why I feel like I haven't reached that barrier because I feel like that's the barrier for me is I may have gotten close to the mark in terms of producing an end product that matched my concept in my mind, but I didn't get to the level that I wanted, and I think that's my barrier. When I can accomplish that in a more efficient, you know, to the T manner where I feel like, yes, I may not be perfect to what's in my head, but it is without argument, boom, what I envisioned. That's my barrier. I think that's my barrier. Like techniques and applications, all that. You can scribe any fucking kit. It doesn't mean it matches your concept necessarily. Or you can paint any kit. Doesn't necessarily mean that the overall thing, like those are just all parts of the big pie. But I feel like if I conquer that, that's my barrier. I want to say that's my glass ceiling, is being aimed to execute my concept with almost near perfection. Okay. And I'm not saying like perfect, like it looks perfect. I mean, like what I have in my head is now in reality.
Sure.
To the best of my abilities.
But do you not think that your ability of that, I mean, like, you know, yeah, sure. It's not like the Zaku is not where you feel like you could be, but in terms of the execution of that from the Sazabi to the Zaku, you don't think you broke barriers?
No. I feel like the skills I had then, I could do the same thing. The problem I have and still had back then was making something that's in my head. I've gotten closer. That I will agree with, but I don't feel like I have made that a skill I can make repeatable. It's still a challenge for me. There's still a barrier. That's why I say I'm getting to my glass ceiling. Have I broken it? No, not for what I personally define as my glass ceiling.
I feel like you've knitted yourself a little scully and you're throwing it on top of a fucking helmet. Talking about, I just got a hat on. Nah, bro. You're armored up. I see that fucking helmet.
Yeah, I'm flying. I'm flying from my cannon.
Yeah. I'm
going maximum velocity.
Yeah, you're moving.
My target.
What's the name of the stunt man from Toy Story?
Rex? Is it?
No.
No?
Is it Rex Danger? No, not Rex Danger.
No.
The guy voiced by Keanu Reeves.
Something boom.
It is something boom.
I feel like Kyle is that stunt. Right? Yeah, trying to find the perfect stunt. But he's done so many cool stunts. It's like, but they're not cool. They're not as cool as the cool one I want to do.
Well, no, his problem was he couldn't do what he could do in the commercials. And he was upset with Jacquon because he abandoned him.
Is that his story? I don't remember.
Yeah, his story was he couldn't make the jumps that were shown in the commercials. And he felt betrayed by that. So his goal was to match the jumps that he was sold to be able to do. And he did. He did do that.
He broke his ceiling.
You know, guys, this segue was brought to you by Boy Bo Wang Cornick, hot garlic flavored corn nuts.
They're making a Toy Story 5.
Light and delicious.
Duke Kaboom is the name of the stunt guy. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, Duke Kaboom's story was essentially the commercial said he could do this. And so his owner bought him, hoping to do this. He couldn't do that, so Jacquon basically threw him to the wolves, saying, "You're a lame toy. You can't do what you can do in the commercial." And so he carried that baggage until he could then do that jump that was shown in the commercial, proving his old owner that he was a good toy. He could do the cool shit that the kid wanted him to do.
Okay, I feel like our definition of the glass ceiling is maybe a little different for everyone. And I think that's a good thing.
I agree. Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. Because to me, a glass ceiling is just, it's not about like perfecting, or not perfecting. That's not even the right word for it.
Conquering challenge.
Yeah. I don't think
this is the definition of a glass ceiling. It's overcoming this adversity or challenge.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it's about like, it's not about the completion of something. It's really more about the improvement of what I'm already doing.
Going plus ultra.
Yeah, my thought is that it's a perceived barrier, right? It isn't an actual barrier, but it's a perceived barrier, i.e. it's glass. Like you feel like it's there, but it really isn't there. So that's probably fucking fucked off from what the actual meaning of it is, and that's fine. The way that I'm interpreting it right now is that the way that I've been talking about it, at least so far, is that it's been a perceived barrier, a thing where I thought that I would need to whatever to whatever. Like I had to climb the mountain, like Kyle was saying, you had to do a, you had to, you know, level up or whatever the fuck it is, like achieving a thing or whatever. And, you know, and you yourself, Kyle, are like, you know, said that your perception of it was like you, between the two builds, say GBWC for that matter, you were like, I had a goal with this, I had an entirely different goal with that, and their goals were the same. But I don't think that their goals were the same. I think that you did do a lot more in conceptual design, in execution, in, you know, your scratch building stuff that you did or whatever. I'm not trying to like fucking jerk you off here, but I'm just saying that, like, yeah, you did. You did surpass, you know, you broke through a level, like you went beyond, you broke through a level of like restriction, whatever, that a perception, you know, and you accepted it already. But I feel like for you, it was so smooth of a transfer because your progression has been so, you know, natural and smooth that you didn't really see it as like, it isn't like a monumental event. Like me with my little paint thingy on the Zaku that I was talking about, that wasn't monumental per se, aside from the fact that it allowed me to relax on my approach to applying paint or finish to these kits. You know, like my perception before that was based on a whole different medium and or a bunch of different other mediums that just didn't pertain to this. But to find out that for me, it was open to interpretation. Like that was my, like the little first ceiling or whatever, which is like not even a ceiling to anybody really, except to me. So that's, I think that you have.
Okay. Crashed.
So what you're basically saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, your perception of breaking a glass ceiling is essentially kind of unlocking an understanding of your build. Like in the case of your Zaku, you realized you have essentially free reign. You're not confined to a certain requirement. You're like, oh shit, I can just do this. I don't have to like,
yeah, exactly,
follow a regimen. It's more like an enlightenment or awakening of an understanding, essentially.
Very true. Yeah, if you want to look in that Siddhartha sort of like a Zenist sort of way. Yeah.
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 I mean, I could understand that. I guess maybe the ceiling for me was just so ridiculously high that any improvement I have doesn't fall under breaking that ceiling. And I'm not going to discredit that I didn't do a better job. That I wholeheartedly agree with. I did improve in skills. I did improve in a lot of things that I wasn't necessarily good at with the Zazabi in terms of execution, understanding, and just making it all work. That I did do good with famine, that I'm not arguing at all. It's more or less, I guess the barrier I have defined for myself, I don't know if it's 1,000 feet off the ground or 10 feet off the ground. It all depends on just how you look at the overarching. Like
they're the same thing when we're talking about this sort of like theoretical shit. 10 feet. Well, the thing is,
I guess rather than having lots of miniature barriers that then get breached to get you to them, like, I guess each barrier is stronger than the last and you need more strength to get to the upper stratosphere. I just have open air and then one giant dome
that I hear where you're coming my lights on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear where you're coming from, Kyle. And for me, I'm not trying to like belie that this, for me, it is some level of progressionary, you know, thickness of glass or harder challenge or whatever. Everything is exactly up to you. So your perception of it as being an open air dome, you know, up to, you know, your, you know, the penultimate that you're, you know, that you're trying to ascend is just your perception of the situation, and that's fine. You know, I'm guess that what I'm doing in my interpretation of the stuff that I'm going now, I mean, obviously this is all retrospect. So, you know, hindsight 2020, and it's easy to look back on things with a kind light and to see things in a good way if you are willing to. It's that I see now
the things that that were literal, like that, or not literal, but that were figurative glass ceilings for me, you know, and I can look back and remember the emotions that I was having or the apprehension that I was having working on Kiss. That's a lot of what this boils down to for building these scale models and stuff. Like, yeah, you can build a robot or you can build a tank or whatever, but there is a level of emotion or feeling or care that goes into what you're doing. You care about what you're working on, whether it is what it is, you know, whether it's a, you know, historically significant to a person, whether it's like familially, like related to your people that you know, or the people that you care about, or, you know, just dedication or whatever, the, or just enjoyment of the form itself. Like, there's still a connection to it. I lost myself again.
Lost.
No, that's what happens when I start to care about shit too much. And that's the thing, is like I get a little bit lost in the sauce. But what it kind of boils down to is that our perception of is it perception of progression? Is that what the glass ceiling is?
It's your perception, yes, of progression.
Right. I wouldn't say that. I would say it's perception of challenge.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Barriers, but challenge, progression, barriers. Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, yeah, got you.
You it all kind of through scopes. The barrier. Yeah. But gotcha. I feel like what you define as your glass ceiling is what is the challenge? What is the right. obstacle that's in your way of whatever you deem as success? Mm-hmm. So the progression is what you do to get through the barrier. But what is you define the glass ceiling as that challenge, that obstacle,
right.
the yes, thing you have exactly. to overcome.
And that's. Yeah. That's kind of what I was rooting down too, is that like, I don't know if I'm necessarily glad handing myself in retrospect, right? Cause like I'm saying, I'm looking back, like reflecting on stuff mm-hmm. and talking about these little barriers versus the things that I'm working at now that I see as a, you know, a pinnacle or a, mm-hmm. a ceiling that I feel like I can't quite catch you or I can't quite reach, you know.
Brian, this leads to a kind of a question I have then. So is there ever a point when there will not be a glass ceiling for you guys? It seems like everyone's pretty much on the consensus that there's multiple transition points, but eventually you'll keep breaking through. Is there a point when you no longer have a glass ceiling in your personal opinion?
Yeah. Probably when I stop enjoying this. Like if I stop enjoying it.
I don't know that it's stopping enjoying, man. Isn't it pure enjoyment? Isn't that the release?
Yeah. Once you're above the last obstacle, all you have is to just enjoy scot-free. That's how I view it. Like I believe I have a upper stratosphere of my glass ceiling. Once I break that, I am now living a unrestricted hobby life. I can enjoy it. There's nothing holding me back. I do what I please and I enjoy it. I'm capable of doing whatever I want. I'm like, it's a form of enlightenment, I guess. You now.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that just like Tyler Durden walking forward through the back door of the room to meet his power animal and just sliding, you know, letting go?
Yeah.
Right? Let the chips fall where they may, as it were, to quote some more Brady Snow. Or no, it's a Truk Palahniuk.
I think it's still going to be a glass ceiling because you're going to get there and you'll be like, "This, I can do better than this." Like you're going to feel how you feel now. You're like, "Oh, I can do incredible shit. Why can't I do incredibler shit?" That's just maybe.
I don't know. It depends. At what point do you stop thinking there's more to it and you just do it?
Well, that's the thing is like, I don't know that there ever is that point where we reach where we don't think that there's always more. There's always more.
There's always more.
But the question is how you interact with the more. I'm getting a little never ending story there. The dark. But like, you know, what is your perception of it? What is your perception of the hobby? Like, what are you trying to get from it? Really, you know, when you reach that quote unquote state of enlightenment, where you're just fine building what the fuck ever and doing whatever and not even like going to shows to try and win awards or whatever, which is fine. You shouldn't do that, but you just go and share your journeys with people and communicate and talk about that. I feel like that is your the fuck does they call that? Your holy place.
Heaven?
El Dorado. El Dorado or whatever.
I kind of feel like I'm there now. Honestly, like I don't go to shows. I don't really compete all that much. I build whatever I want. Sometimes people ask me to build for them, and that's cool. Yeah, in terms of execution of things, I don't think I'm there. But the glass ceiling is, I think, like you guys said, it's whatever you want it to be. And for me, it's an execution thing. Like if I can execute something the way I want to execute, then yeah, that's a glass ceiling broken. And then what's after that? And after that, and after that, I think it's never ending up until a point where you're like, okay, well, I'm not enjoying this anymore. So what's the point? If I'm not enjoying it, there's no ceiling to break. I'm happy in this room. Maybe it's time to move house.
I'm curious about your commentary on execution. Like, what about execution?
It's really more okay. So, you know, I look at my build, and as everyone does, you look at your build, and you'll pick out the things that you don't like as much about it, that nobody else will pick.
Right.
You guys will be like, oh, I don't like the way this ended up being, and how this ended up looking, and all that stuff, right? And people will be like, dude, you're crazy. I don't see what you're seeing. Blah blah blah. I do that too, and I know some of the things that I'm lacking on, and things that I feel like, while it's good execution, there is still another level to it that I haven't gotten to. And I want to find out how to get to that level. And I think that's where the enjoyment for me comes in, because like, there is nothing more exciting than going, okay, I understand the concept of this now, and I understand the execution of it, but there's a better way to execute this. And I'm wanting to learn how. Right. In fighting game terms, it's like, okay, there's a combo. This is a bread and butter combo that I've just learned. I've just learned this combo. It's a great combo, but there's another combo that's way more efficient, does way more damage. I want to learn that now. But it still ends up being the same thing, right? You're still damaging the other fighter or whatever. So it's like, yeah, okay, I build really clean, but there are much cleaner builds out there. And I don't know how they get to that level of like detail and cleanliness. And I'm like, okay, I want to find out how to do that. And I want to be able to execute that. After that, like, who knows where I'll go after that. Like, okay, now I've achieved that. Okay, well, now I kind of want to figure out how to narrate a story, or how to narrate a, you know, a build that can tell a story, a vignette.
Gotcha.
How do I do that? How do I break that ceiling?
Yeah, how do you take this like refined skill in clean production and then turn that into a narrative, which is awesome? It's fun because it gives you more to work towards, you know?
Exactly. It's like, it's never, at least for me, it's never ending up until to the point where I'm like, I'm not really enjoying this anymore. I'm putting way too much pressure on myself. This isn't what I signed up for. You know, maybe it's time to find something else. So it's like, to me, even though I felt like I've broken barriers and the broken ceilings, like personally, I don't think there's ever really an end. So, you know, much, you know, it's what Kyle's saying, like there's like a state of Zen. It's like, to me, I don't think that's there for me. Like personally, there's no place like that for me, because the Zen for me is the process of breaking said ceiling, learning and understanding, and then being able to execute that, what you've learned. And then from then on, like what's the next room to go into so I can break that damn ceiling? Yeah.
There'll be ceilings, bro.
Yeah, man.
I'm telling you, thought about a career in demolition.
No, I don't think I have the arms or the height for that.
It's all right. Get a box. A little box for you, Sandon.
I would rely way too much on that box. Get like emotionally attached. Yeah, I get way too emotionally attached. Put stickers all over it. Put my signature and stuff.
Little Chris's box.
No, I call it a little boxy. And then
all right.
Somebody would break the box. I'd be really upset and heartbroken, and I'd consider leaving the company. You know, bad turns because someone fucked with little boxy. You know.
No, you would. You go Frank Castle style. Just meet him up at the construction site late at night when they're trying to do their illicit drug meetings, and beat him with a fucking sledgehammer to death and drown him in cement.
Yeah. I imagine Pabs's box
go Marvel.
In Metal Gear. When you're sneaking around in a cardboard box, and once someone catches you, it just fucking disappears. It's Pabs.
I wish I was that sneaky shit.
Julio.
What?
Talk to me, man.
What's up? Well, I think I would need a refrigerator box. Like, I couldn't fit in the little cardboard box that Snake does.
Shit. You do a stove. I see you in a stove box.
I might be able to do a stove box. I gotta work on my duck walk, you know.
So you would Indiana Jones surviving a like a nuclear explosion for refrigerator way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do that. Like a Stanley Cup. It's just fucking
surviving. Oh my god. It. Just full of lead.
Yeah.
Dead ass. Just full of lead. Just like that 1950s refrigerator, just full of lead.
I wonder if any of the people who like went hard with them actually got some lead poisoning.
Hope not. Because that's terrible.
I just wonder if they like did or just like trace amounts.
I mean, you'll find out here. This like just the next generation of boomers. 8 lead paint chips. Right, Chris, you can edit that out if you want.
You know what? Okay. You know what? On the opposite side of it, of the glass ceiling breaking, just to kind of steer back to the topic itself.
Yes, of course.
I learned what I didn't enjoy in terms of like building. And, you know, like going through the whole rigmarole of the process of it, right? And it was during the high new build. And there were two things that I realized I did not enjoy. And it was the process of, and as much as I'll keep doing it because I kind of like the final look of it, but the multiple finishes, I didn't enjoy the process of that, kind of thinking about what needs to go what and what layer needs to go where and blah, blah, blah. It was like, okay, I see it and I see the effort of putting, you know, you put into it to get this look and, you know, to achieve this look, but it was just not enjoyable.
You're talking about like a high gloss next to a matte finish, next to
a
metallic finish.
Next to a metallic, Yeah, so, you know, that kind of sucked a little bit of the enjoyment out of it for me, which meant like, you know, like this is not a ceiling I really want to break because it's not a process I'm really enjoying. And then the second part of it was, lost my train of thought, but there was a second part of it. I don't remember it anymore. I don't, but I'll get to that. But it's like,
I know this so well,
but, what about you guys? Was there like a build that you thought was going to break barriers or ceilings and you're like, oh, well, maybe.
Well, I'll interject real quick here. Real quick. Good one. So the resin Full City, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to do something wild, right? You know me, go big or go home. And I have a lot of history or I had a lot of background at the time in doing mold making casting. I was very excited about it, which is the main thing. The catalyst is always excitement. Spent a lot of time and spent a lot of money on creating this thing, you know, and it's beautiful for what it's worth, you know, for a garage kit. But even though I made and, you know, I trials and tribulations, I failed. Much of my molds failed. A bunch of my processes failed. And I learned a lot through it. And it was incredibly valuable experience. Material science wise, process wise, just, you know, form functionality started out in a big shop, ended up doing a lot of it in like a small space in my apartment during the pandemic and all that crap. But what I was a perceived achievement in creating the kit and, you know, getting to that point and doing all that extra work, led me to learn that I didn't want to do that. So while I was successful and I have a couple of kits out there in the wild, and a couple, you know, whatever that are going to go out, it was successfully discouraging. I learned the that the amount of labor and time and materials and everything that goes into making model kits like this from scratch, or however the fuck you want to talk about it, garage kit style resin stuff, there is no money in it. It is a zero sum or negative sum situation. And I'm not trying to say that people shouldn't go ahead and try and have fun casting their stuff and making multiple parts and making greebles and that kind of stuff. But like doing a full on garage kit in the style, like what the dogs were doing in the 90s and shit or whatever, like, you know, early 2000s. I almost feel like that is like is gone the way of the dodo, you know. I feel like not as a negative. I think that the like the advent and acceptance of 3D print technology and 3D modeling is valuable, and that that is really like, in a way, as much as I love pencils and papers and hate working on computers, I feel like the marriage of the scratch building community and the 3D printing community is like the next wave. And that doesn't really have anything to do with any glass ceiling shit or whatever. That's just me waxing.
Oh yeah. I mean, essentially you're saying you didn't find the fulfillment that you felt like you were expecting.
Oh no, I got a lot of fulfillment in the mm-hmm. ability to have created all of this stuff and, you know, make 130 or 40 part kit, you know, like, you know, molding and all the work and all the scratch work and all the, you know, everything that goes into all of that stuff. It's like you pour a lot of energy into these things. Little column A, little column B style, it's a little bit marketing, like what's available. What do you want? It's a passion project for me. It's something that I wanted. How many people can I expect to want the same thing that I want? Right. Mm-hmm. Unless it's, you know, I'm not Fortune Meow. I'm not, you know, Anycubic. I'm not fucking, well, Anycubic is a 3D print company, but I'm not like, you know, any of these, whatever, Anchorite or whoever the fuck it is. Like I'm not out there or, Chris, you know some of these ones. These other companies that do this shit, right? They have design teams and they have that was wild. My cat just attacked my wife's in the hallway. It was wild. Literally like kung fu fight between the two of them. It was bizarre. But like, you know, these companies that like have all of this like design and like reading the tea leaves and watching the you know the community to know what the fuck they want, like Mechanicor or whatever the fuck ever, like. That is so humbling to have dipped my little baby toes into that pool in regards to garage kit style stuff and seeing what actually goes into it to make like the kits that people talk shit about on the internet. Like my garage kit, which is cool because it's custom and you know, all of the hand labor, it's very artisanal. Pales in comparison to like a model heart, you know, supernova they were before style, you know, any of the Sandrock that Kyle and I both built, or, you know, any of their like their kits, like, or even any of the Mechanicor stuff or Kodo stuff or whatever, like there's so much shit that goes into that. And that is really like, that's the stone ceiling for me. Like, I was just, it was just a beautifully painted mosaic. I just didn't understand where I was trying to get to. And after I bashed through the little kit basher garage kit style, you know, garage model barrier, I slammed full hard into this like meter thick layer of quartz that you could just see through beautifully, but it was impenetrable. And it's rightly so. Rightly so. I don't know where I'm going with this story, but it's real.
It's nice. This is a good one.
I'm not trying to go anywhere, I guess. I'm just like, this is just like experience.
We're trying to go up through the ceilings.
Well, no, I mean, and there are avenues. And like, and I'm not saying like don't build an cool shit and mold it and you know, if your homies want to buy a thing or whatever, or you want to do whatever, have fun, whatever, just have fun. Hobbies are fun. Do whatever crafty fun shit you want. I'm just saying that like should just try to find all of the enjoyment that you can in the avenues that you pursue.
You're telling me to dig inside and feel around and
oh my god,
once
no.
it Ooh, feels yeah, good.
No. Oh no, 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 no.
Press it as hard no. as you can.
Hard stop now. No, what I'm saying is like I made so from that experience and from those elements that I've made lots of molds from and had lots of copies of, and once I had the ability to make the copies of and made parts of them, I made a bunch of other cool mecha projects from that, like cool mecha models, like the flea that won OMC in 2019 and the New York City leg of GBWC with its like overwhelming Gundam presence, even though it didn't look anything like a damn Gundam. It was all made of Gundam parts or parts that were made from Gundam parts. But a lot of the stuff that I made from Gundam parts was then recast by myself and used in my own build. Like, that is invaluable. So the experiences that I learned through doing all that stuff, like the nuances, the ins and outs, the muscle memory, right? The practice. And the more you do something, the better you get at it, Chris. That's why you're so fucking good at doing the clean builds and shit. And Kyle, I know you're a little bit apprehensive because you're just dipping your toes into some of the more extreme ends of scratch building customization with your I wouldn't even call it Skyfall or whatever the heck you call that thing, Kyle.
Re-entry.
No. Is it? Sounds so no. pornographic, Kyle. Re-entry.
Might as well call it in and
out. Nah, he gets sued with a burger joint. But like even you, Julio, with your, you know, when you're dabbling in with your customization with this last season, like, yeah. All right, on the floor.
I'm a snap builder.
Shut your fucking mouth.
I snap build.
Just because you forget to work on stuff doesn't mean you're a snap builder.
I don't get to work on stuff. It's that revenge shit. Procrastination revenge.
Oh.
Like, yeah, you'll be there. I'll get to you eventually. And video games.
Now Chris has to use that in the B-roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, does he? Mm-hmm. Nah, he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. I think when you turn on the faucet, Julio, usually you have the tendency to break at least one thing.
I just filled the tub, man. I don't know what's breaking. I fill it. You sit in a tepid bowl of your own juices.
Oh, it's that pink jelly from Ghostbusters 2.
It was like ectoplasm. That's what comes out of Kyle. Just heaping handfuls of ectoplasm.
Nah, Kyle's would be less like ectoplasm and more like the stuff from Berserk.
Is it blood?
What? Like, what the fuck?
Stuff from Berserk?
Just blood.
Yeah, from the Tower of Inhibition arc.
I think you've done remember there.
You talking about like the goo monster thing that like yeah. okay yeah. That yeah. took me a second. I was like, wait, hold on, I gotta look back. That's the only reason I think about that arc is the horse. It's the same arc with the fucking horse
wild
spiel.
Yeah, I think of the Bozgu and Mosgus and the preachers of Dark Souls 3.
Same look, yeah.
I think about the creatures from Yharnam, all right?
Ooh, Bloodborne, deep cuts-ish.
Yeah. I think about the creatures from Pal World and how everyone's making them fuck. What? You don't need to hear about Pal World fucking?
I don't know nothing about any of this. I don't even know what you're talking about.
It's Pokemon, but you can make them fuck, and then they make new Pokemons.
Yeah, there is a thing in Pokemon that is Pokemon breeding.
Yeah, but you're not making new crazy shit.
Well,
there's actually like new crazy shit you'd be making in there.
So like in Final Fantasy VII, they had Chocobo breeding.
Yeah, it's way more. Way different. You're not making Chocobo, you're making fucking some weird shit. You put something that looks like a ghost and something that looks like a chimera together, and you get a fucking like Pikachu looking motherfucker. It's pretty. Yeah, Pal World's wild. Oh. But, and they were saying it's AI made. Like, AI made that game.
Yeah, AI is just a decision tree. That's not real. AI is fake.
It's doing the heavy lifting.
Sure. It's just doing a decision tree.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. You don't have the cognitive capacity to follow a set of questions. You stupid fuck. AI.
I'm going to become an AI artist. That's my next ceiling.
Jesus fuck.
So, you know, I feel like I owe you guys an explanation as to why this topic came up and why I wanted to continue.
And
last episodes. Now this will be the last thing, because I want this to kind of not really be a lesson, but more of an experience for others, right? So as I think with most people, when you see a cool build, you like to share it with people, correct?
Yeah.
You guys like, you know, you go, oh shit, that's a cool looking build. Send it to my friends. They like it. But yeah, man, how the fuck do you think you do that? So I sent someone a build like that recently. I'm not going to say who. Let's just say, you know. We're not going to say, no, you know what? We're not going to say who. No.
We're not going to say who. Fuck them, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
So I sent him the build. And I'm like, oh, is this what you were looking to achieve? And he was like, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, man, cool, man. This guy's builds are super clean. Like next level clean. Like I really want to be able to achieve that at one point, you know. I kind of want to put the work in and see if I can get the mileage to be able to do something like this. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, man, don't even bother. Like don't do it, because you know, you see the, because all right, so that, first of all, the build was Japanese, but the builder was Japanese, and he was like, you know how crazy they are over there, like, you know, that's just some next level shit, like it's too much. And it kind of like, I'm like, well, why would you say not to bother? You know, like,
yeah,
why not break that ceiling? Like,
yeah, ain't that, you know, some shit?
Yeah, I think it's I don't want to feel like, I don't want to be that type of person to be like, don't bother doing it because that's some next level shit. I'd be that kind of person, be like, you know, yeah, like figure out how the fuck they didn't do it.
I think the moral of the story, Chris, is that you should be staying in your lane, buddy.
Oh, shit.
Trigger Chris with the red eyes.
Man, it's like you summoned the blue eyes white dragon on me and then used polymerization to create the three-headed blue eyes white dragon on me, and then told Mokuba to step back as he used white lightning attack and reduced my points to zero.
I don't know.
That's from my Yu-Gi-Oh fans out there.
I don't know the sound of
them dying. They're like, boom, boom, boom.
Oof, yeah. I just, it's always gonna, for some reason, as a, you know, even as an adult, as a grown man now, I can still hear the voice actor for Kaiba saying the name Mokuba. And that's just something that's just gonna stay with you for life.
Certain shit sticks with you, bro.
Kyle, are you as lost as I am?
I got, like, after he talked about the blue eyes white dragon turning into the three-headed one, and he mentioned some other people, and I don't, yeah. He's okay. In the shadow realm, so I don't.
Word. Gotcha. So they're, like, dancing around the campfire in the half mentionables covered in face paint and shit. And we're on the sides drinking sevens.
There's somebody out there who understands that example, like, precisely. And it's going to, like, it's going to be like a light bulb in their head. I'm like, oh, now I get it.
It's going to resonate so purely with them.
A pure resonation. Like, the, you know, like that single drop of water that just falls on, or single drop, yeah, it just falls on the water. And you think, you're like, ah, ha, ha. But yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, it would just... I know the person didn't mean to be discouraging by saying that. It was really more of like an exaggeration of like how great that builder slash build was. But it just irked me a little bit. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. don't say something so discouraging, saying don't bother.
You know? Right. It wasn't meant to be a slight to you. It was meant to be a compliment to them. But at the same time, it was also a slight to you in a way. But and as myself, a person that is also incredibly passionate about my hobby, I understand exactly why you'd be like, motherfucker, challenge accepted.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, I get it. I know where I'm at with what I do. Now I kind of, you know, maybe now I want to break that ceiling further and see where, if I can get to where this person is and all that. And, you know, who knows? I don't know if I'll get to it. I don't know if I'll ever get to that point. Fuck, I'm going to have so much fun trying. Have so much fun trying, making cool shit, and that's the exciting part.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, you should post it on that. TikTok.
Oh my God. I think I'm good.
While doing a Fortnite dance.
What is it? I don't even know Fortnite. I think one of them is this, right? Like,
you do this with your arms. I don't know what you're doing.
I don't know. I don't really understand it. I don't. I played that game one time, like. Two random strangers carried me to a victory and I go, oh shit, I won. And then I never played again.
Done.
So, yeah.
I think I watched like about 25 seconds of someone playing it once and I was like, what the? Nah, not my thing.
Yeah. It's not. But yeah, I mean, do you guys have any other closing comments or statements or any anecdotes, more Yu-Gi-Oh references? If you guys have any.
I have zero. I feel like
Joey.
Hey, Yug!
From Blossom? Hey, Yug! From Blossom?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
From Friends.
Exactly, from Blossom.
From Blossom. Fuck Friends.
It's Joey! But okay, so if you guys have nothing else, then let's go ahead and close the show. I think this was a really interesting conversation. I wanted it to be a bit more casual, but it ended up not being that way. But I think this was good. I think this was good, right? I don't know.
I can never make anything casual.
It's always the hardcore. Okay, let's go through the rigmarole of closing stuff. If you guys like what you hear, if you guys like kind of the stuff that we talk about, and there's a topic that we aren't touching upon that you're like, man, I can't believe they're not talking about, insert comment here. You can hit us up on any of our socials. It's bro_builder, clueless_gunpla_builder, clipping nubs with, is it two P's?
Two PPs.
Two PPs, clipping nubs, and two B's, right?
No.
Is it one B?
One.
One B, thank you. One B, clipping nubs. And then Chris_Pabs, if you guys have any topic suggestions. If you don't really like hitting us up personally, you can always join our Discord where you can post like a suggestion or a topic suggestion, or you can join in the multitudes of conversations that a lot of people are having on there. You know, whether it's a work in progress that you want to talk about, if there's a build that you guys want to show off, if there's like a topic that you want to talk to other people about who listen to the podcast, or if you want to talk about the topic that we've talked about in the past, there's that. There's also an email that you can reach out to if you're not really much of a social media guy. It's buildsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. Again, you can always set us up with messages there. And then people we want to thank, I want to thank our Patreon members. Without you guys, lights will be off. There'd be no heating, no hot water, the podcast would be emaciated on the floor crying, wondering where its next meal would be coming from. So thank you guys for keeping us away from that state.
It's all right. You just started a rockabilly band. You'll be good.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, if you guys like how we sound, that is all thanks to USA Gundam Store. They, Adam and the guys over there provided us with these very crispy sounding, the bass just sounds so bassy mics. So, you know, if you guys have any, needs for model kits, whether it's Gunpla, whether it's armor, whether it's car, whether it's tools, paints, you name it, they got it. USAGunstore.com. Thank you for these mics. And if you like this podcast and want to be like, I wonder what other kind of modeling podcasts are out there. Brian, what was the website?
That is www.scalemodelpodcasts.com. Scalemodelpodcasts.com, plural.
Don't forget the http://, right at the front. You don't have to do that. Don't do that. Just do scale. Scalemodelpodcasts.
This is the fucking 90s, man. Come on.
W.
And I think that's it. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate you, all of you, anybody who listens to us. Hopefully we'll see you guys in the next one. Always build it sideways. We'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Build Sideways Podcast.